To us, and we, as we spend these moments just reflecting on what's going on there, we pray that you'd help us to see you afresh above all else, to receive that revelation from your Spirit about who you are, that we might find our place in the church that you're building. Help us to that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, who do you say that I am? There's a question that Jesus poses, and you can almost get it. Just to catch us up, to recap, as we've been looking through Matthew's gospel through the summer, here we have the journey of the disciples that Matthew is really keen to chart. As they go from ignorance, they don't know who Jesus is, they encounter this guy and they're just, you know, wow. And Peter initially is saying, as he's called to follow Jesus, he says, "But depart from me, I'm a sinful man." You know, he's really convicted. But then they begin to get to know Jesus. And as they begin to see who he is, they just start to wonder. They're a bit mystified, really. And even the calming of the storm, they just look at one another and say, "Who is this guy? Who have we got ourselves caught up with? Even the wind and the waves obey him." But they weren't worshipping. They weren't acknowledging his identity quite yet. And so they go further in their journey, and the feeding of the 5,000, the walking on the water is the first time when we're told they worship Jesus as they see him come to him. It's almost like a real gift that Jesus gives them, walking on the water. So they have confidence in who he is. They say, "You are the Son of God." They acknowledge him there and they worship him for the first time. And even in the midst of that worshipping, Peter doubts as he tries to walk on water. And doubt, it's okay for doubt to be mixed up with the worship. And that's the pattern all the way through the rest of Matthew's gospel, actually, right to the end when Jesus ascends to heaven. But here is this journey in the disciples. First they don't know Jesus, then they know him, then they're saying, "Who is this guy?" And then they're recognizing he's the Son of God, they're worshipping him, and then they're following him on retreat up to Lebanon, and they're watching him engage with the Canaanite woman and the crowds who come, and all of that. And Jesus is hoping they've got it. And now he sits down with them and says, "Okay, have you got it now? I've noticed that you've started to worship me, that you've moved on a bit in your journey. We're taking your next chapter now. You know, I know what's going to lie ahead now. This is the road to the cross. Opposition is going to come. You're going to have real confidence that I am the Messiah. So let's just see. Let's just check in with you. Have you got it? Do you know who I am?" And he starts, "Well, who do others say? Some say this, some say this." Well, that's fine. Others may say this or that. What about you? Let's get personal. Have you joined the dots? Have you made the connection about who Jesus is? This is the question that matters. You know, my middle sister, when she was young and had just come into knowledge of the Lord and given her life to Jesus like that, she was so enthusiastic, and she really took to this verse and sort of thought, "This is it. This is the thing. This is the question that everyone has to answer." And she painted it on her bedroom wall. "Who do you say that I am?" In big, bold letters. So that when people walked past the window, they could look in and they could see that on the back wall. "Who do you say that I am?" I'm not sure I'm recommending that you go home and do that, by the way. But there is a certain acknowledgement. This is the question that matters. Who is Jesus to you? Just take a moment. Who is Jesus to you? You may or may not have seen James Nesbitt in the co-op last week buying his wine. You may have seen other famous people around in your life, but this is the person that really matters. Have you seen him? Have you encountered him? Just bring to mind, remember. Where are you on that journey of discovering who Jesus is? This is the question that matters. Okay, let's go on. Because Jesus goes on. Peter makes an incredible confession. He says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." This is a step on from saying, you know, worshipping Son of God, you're the Messiah. You're the one that we've been waiting for. You're the one on whom all our hopes hang. You're the one who's going to make everything right. It's a big confession. And Jesus says, yes, you've got it. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. There's been revelation from my Father, and it's this that matters. And he says to Peter, on this rock I will build my church. So now, let's stick with on this rock. Let's stick with that one. Let's go back a slide. On this rock, what's going on there? Different people have got different ideas about the rock that Jesus is referring to. So some people would say it's not just Peter himself as a person that Jesus is calling a rock. It's an office in the church that Jesus is creating. The church needs someone at the head who is kind of the chief vicar standing in Christ's place. And Peter is the first person to occupy that office. But it's an office that Jesus is establishing for the whole of time. And Peter has successors based in Rome. And so here he is. Peter is the first pope. And we have to be under the authority of the pope. Otherwise we're in rebellion against God and the office that he set up here in Matthew's gospel. That's one interpretation that you might find. I think that's a bit of a stretch too far in the text. Is Jesus establishing an office, or is Jesus saying, no, Peter, you're a significant person? There's only one person who's going to be the first person to preach the gospel on the day of Pentecost. There's only one person who's going to be the first person to take the gospel to the Gentiles, as Peter did to Cornelius' household. He is the first name mentioned in the list of disciples whenever we encounter that in the Gospels. He was a significant person. Other people have said, no, it's not. The rock isn't Peter at all. The rock is what just precedes that. Jesus says, you will be called Peter. Simon, you will now be called Peter. Peter is Petros, the rock in Greek. So here is Jesus renaming Peter, giving him a fresh identity. Some people have said it's that renaming, it's that discovering of a fresh identity in Jesus that is the rock on which Jesus builds his church. And as we each discover a fresh identity, there's something in that. Maybe there's something in that. Other people have said, well, no, it's not that either. It's that revelation that Jesus is referring to. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. My Father in heaven has revealed. And that revelation from the Spirit of God, that's the way we progress in our Christian life. And it's as the Holy Spirit reveals to us the truth of who God is and what God has done in Christ, that revelation, as it works in us, becomes the rock on which Jesus builds his church. So each of us as individuals have that revelation that becomes the foundation that gives for a strong building. Whether it's, do you know what my view is? I think it's a bit of both. I think Jesus is deliberately being a bit kind of playing with words, and there's different layers of meaning here. Yeah, Peter's a significant guy. Revelation is really important. That work that Jesus does to change our identity is all important. And Jesus is going to use all these things as he builds his church. But do you know what? Sometimes in church history, we've got so wrapped up in this debate. What is the rock? We've got to understand it. And we lose sight of the next bit, which I think is the most important bit of what Jesus is saying here. On this rock, let's go to the next slide. I will build my church. How wonderful. How wonderful. Jesus is the one doing the building. That's what matters. You know what? He can build the church however he wants to build the church and use the rocks. And Peter himself describes each of us as living stones in the building that God is building in his letter to the churches. Each of us is a little rock, a living stone. And God is just moving people together, drawing us into fellowship, connecting us so that he can do the building. What lessons do we learn from this for us, for our daily lives? There's various, I think. I can let you draw some. But there's something here about the significance of the individual. Sometimes we can feel we're just one insignificant person. What difference can we really make? Do you know, God is in the business of using individuals. And often the individuals who seem least likely. And maybe, you know, there's only one person who could be the first to preach the gospel on the day of Pentecost, like I said. Peter had this special place. Maybe we're not, you know, by the law of averages, most of us are not going to be that notable, that visible in terms of the role that we occupy. But each one of us is called to be that living stone, contributing, finding where we fit. Because what God is doing through, what Christ is doing is building his church so that the gates of hell won't prevail against it. There's this picture. This is what Jesus has been doing. And we're wanting to key into that and say, Jesus, you're building your church. Where do I find my place in it? How do I contribute? And as an individual, you will have something that no one but you can give, can offer. And finding that is a great joy and fulfillment. And sometimes we've got to work at finding our place. But it's worth working at it, because this is the eternal purpose of God for good. Jesus is building his church. Are you in? Do you want to be part of it? Discovering who Jesus is, that revelation, that transformation begins to find our purpose in what God is doing, building his church. It's really good, really exciting, core purpose of God. And so the significance of each individual, and isn't it wonderful that it doesn't depend on us? That we have a place and that God is trusting us to find our place, but ultimately it's Jesus doing the work to build his church. And he'll bring those people on the aircraft to sit next to us to do that thing. And we just have to respond and flow with him and cooperate and say yes as we go along. And he will build his church. And just something around the importance of church in this world, in God's purpose, to get people together to do something to make a difference in this world. And it starts with knowing him. Let's just take a moment just to ask God in the quietness of our hearts, show me Jesus afresh. Show me who you really are. Show me my place in your church. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're building your church. You've been doing it for centuries. Thank you that even in this place, there's been people gathering, seeking you, seeking their place in your church. And here we are, standing on the shoulders of giants, seeking to find our place. Give us this morning fresh revelation. Transform us by your Spirit as only you can. Fit us to play our part. In the work you're doing, help us by your Spirit. In a moment's quiet, just press in with God. Draw near. What is it that Jesus is saying to you, is revealing to you, is calling you into in the work of the church?